Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another riveting episode of Rough Riders Radio. This is our 282nd podcast to date. So let's get right to it, shall we? Tonight's topic, Trump, Russia, Felix Sater, and Bayrock Capital. Let's get right to it. The only way that he, and by the way, this is from the narrative tonight is from Michael D'Antonio, the Trump biographer, Rachel Maddow of MSNBC, and Bloomberg News blogger Timothy L. O'Brien. All three of those are the source material for tonight's broadcast. The only way that he, Trump, was able to finance his resurrection from his bankruptcies after 2000 of money flowing out of Russia and the former Soviet Union countries like Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan. The investors that he got at that point were looking for safe havens or opportunities to launder money that were proceeds that were basically from criminal enterprises. Trump himself denies having any financial connections with Russia. So he tweeted out, number one, I have no dealings with Russia. Number two, I have no deals in Russia. Number three, I have no deals that could happen in Russia because we stayed away, and I have no loans with Russia. The thing to notice when Donald Trump talks about his relationship with Russia is that he always says, I have no business in Russia. He doesn't say that Russians have no business with me. As pointed out in a recent MSNBC episode of the Rachel Maddow Show, Steve Bannon, the one-time chief strategist for Trump, claimed that money laundering may be the real crime that will ultimately bring down the Trump presidency. Now, this is where Felix Sater enters into the picture for Donald Trump. Felix Sater is a very interesting character. Sater joined Bayrock Group in the fall of 2002. Bayrock was located on the 24th floor of Trump Tower. Trump's office was located just two floors above on the 26th floor of the very same building. Felix Sater was a convicted criminal and also a U.S. government informant. And Sater was convicted of stock fraud in 1998, but his sentence was suspended for 11 years as U.S. intelligence sought his services for national security purposes. Apparently, Felix Sater knew where loose Stinger anti-aircraft missiles were sold on the black market in Afghanistan, something that was a very high priority at that time for the U.S. defense establishment. Sater also has extensive ties to the U.S. Mafia and the Russian underworld, and he also had contacts within Russian intelligence and Russian military agencies. So it was Felix Sater himself who initially developed the relationship with Trump. Sater had made the acquaintances of three Trump Organization executives who then introduced him to their boss. When the Bayrock team met Trump in 2002, the future president was enduring a long stretch in the financial wilderness, having narrowly escaped personal bankruptcy in the early 1990s. He eventually emerged from that mess as a pariah among big banks. The Bayrock Group and Donald Trump were then to form a decade-long real estate partnership that involved huge infusions of murky cash flows from the Eurasian continent, the Ukraine, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, as well as Mother Russia. This deluge of money was criminally tainted money, money that was being laundered out of the Eurasian locations and sent over to the U.S. to be parked into real estate. The Bayrock Group consisted of Felix Sater, Kev Thick Arif, who, like Sater, was also born in Kazakhstan, and in addition was a former Russian official before the collapse of the Soviet Union. Kevak had a brother in Kazakhstan, Refkik. Between these two, the money to fund Bayrock resided. From there on, the money just kept flowing into Bayrock, and every time it appeared that Bayrock would have to shut down for lack of money, voila, money would just mysteriously, magically keep coming in. So picking up where we left off, and Sater, who pitched the future president on the idea of launching an international chain of Trump-branded mixed-use hotels and condominiums. And Bayrock got to Trump at a time when Trump's brand could help a little extra tension for a condo project, but actually didn't amount to much more than that. Trump was trying to build his brand, and Bayrock was trying to market it. Then, The Apprentice aired for the first time on January the 8th, 2004, and became a sensation that vaulted Trump into reality TV stardom. In the real world, Trump's casinos were faltering, but on reality TV, Trump posed as a successful leader and dealmaker who embodied a certain kind of entrepreneurial flair and over-the-top billionaire dumb, an impression that stuck with tens of millions of TV viewers. The popularity of The Apprentice also gave the Bayrock-Trump partnership added zing. That put Bayrock in a great position once the show debuted. The show did it for Trump. Nobody was interested in licensing his name before that. Now, the hook at Bayrock for Trump, the reason or the incentive for Trump to go along with Bayrock, was that Bayrock would give Trump an unqualified, guaranteed 18% equity stake in what became the Trump Soho Hotel, a steady stream of management fees on all Bayrock projects, and the ability to plaster his name, Trump, on properties without having to invest a single dollar of his own, getting a guaranteed 18% cut. That's a sweet deal. It's not clear how carefully Trump vetted his Bayrock partners, but his lack of concern about their dubious backgrounds and the potential risk to his own reputation from dealing with them was part of a pattern over the years. In Atlantic City, he had partnered with men with organized crime ties. Later, he and his children struck deals in Brazil and Azerbaijan with partners who had murky backgrounds or unusual legal entanglements. Felix Sater said in court filings that he disclosed his security fraud conviction to members of the Trump Organization. He assumed they had told Trump, but he wasn't sure. It's not very hard to get connected to Donald if you make it known that you have a lot of money and you want to do deals and you want to put his name on it. Abe Wallach, who was the future president's right-hand man at the Trump Organization from 1990 to 2002, told in an interview, quote, "Donald doesn't do due diligence. He just relies on his gut and whether he thinks you have good genes," unquote. The same Bayrock real estate development company also received illicit funds from Mukhtar Ablyazov, the former head of a Kazakhstan's BTA bank, who also embezzled more than billion, that's billion with a B, through shady loans to himself via shell companies he had created. He bought three condos in Trump Soho through his son-in-law, who had previously dealt with Bayrock's other principal, Felix Sater, using these illicit funds in an elaborate money laundering scheme. Some of the BTA money also apparently went to a fake Trump brand casino hotel tower project in the city of Batumi in the former Soviet nation of Georgia, for which many loans were made. But the project itself never went forward, yet the loans were never repaid. Trump himself was paid $1 million for merely the use of his name in 2012 and even made a personal appearance in Batumi. In addition to this, a troika of metals billionaires over in Russia, in Kazakhstan, including Alexander Mashkovich and his two partners, Patak Chodiev and Alijan Ibragimov, also supplied Bayrock Group with cash through their holding company, Eurasian Natural Resources Corporation, PLC. Itself so bad, itself forced off the European Stock Exchange by England's serious fraud office due to their, quote, rampant, unquote, corruption. All this is apparently now part of special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into money laundering associated with Trump properties. So, as you can see, all of this fits a pattern, and an extensive one at that, exhibited by the Trump Organization of just coincidentally always being on the receiving end of questionable funds. Well, more later on, but stay tuned. Thank you very much for listening to our 282nd podcast of Rough Riders Radio. This is the old Rough Rider himself, rounding third, heading for home. And we're going to put a sock on this one tonight. But as always, stay well, keep it lit, and remember, we ride, but you decide.